Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show.
That's Jason Claiborne, TAC, along with Hezekiah Walker. You're all I need. This is the final weekend of the month of May. We're finishing up this month and headed into June in fine fashion. And thank you so much for joining us on the Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show. We're KAYT, KQJOFM, the station for every generation, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana. We've got Tasha Cobbs Leonard and Sierra with In Spite of Me. It's on right now.
Shreveport, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, 100.1 Lake Charles, and KQJO-FM, 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
Get ready to have a little church.
I'm Reverend Stanley Mathis, Senior Pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is now brought to you by Robinson Mortuary. Robinson Mortuary is a family serving family. They are located at 1850 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana. And their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. God's creation has a purpose. Everything was created to point mankind to the Creator, our one true God. In verses 3 and 4, David first observed the work of creation in the heavens, the moon, and the stars as God's finger work. And then David was amazed that limited man, who is mortal or weak man, should have a responsibility over it. I don't know why God chose us. I don't even know why God even loves us. But God so loved the world that he sent his son to do something for you and I. I don't know why we are even on God's mind. But because we are made in his image and his likeness, we are special and unique in God's eyes. Then look at verse 4. It says there is a rhetorical question that emphasizes man in a significant creature in the universe. Yet God cares for him greatly. David here is amazed that the Lord of the universe thinks about us. Why is man on God's mind? I'm glad you asked. Because we are made in his image and likeness. I said it earlier. Spiritually, we are made in the image of God. That makes us special. He didn't make no animals like us, no fish, no birds, or nothing else. He made man in his image like him. Spiritual. Not birds, not animals, not dogs, not cattle. He made man spiritually. You got to get this. God didn't put the breath of life in birds, nor animals, nor anything that was creeping on the ground, but he did so in man. Amen. He breathed something in us and made us alive the way we can come back and talk to him, who is our maker and our creator. He made us uniquely special that we would have a relationship with him. Why? Because he is our God and he expects us to honor him for who he is. He inhabited the praises of his people. We serve an eternal and an everlasting God who looks far beyond our many faults and frailty. He loves us in spite of our frailties and the shortcomings that we have. Why? Even though I stumble and I fall, the Lord God says, I still love you. But Pastor, you don't know my story. But the Lord knows your beginning from your end. He knows the hair on your head. He knows your life. He knows your expectancy, and he knows what you're capable of. But he also loves you in spite of the things that we do in life. What kind of God is it that we serve? Antioch, he is a God of love. He is a God that sees us. Notice, as David continued in verse 4, saying, and the son of man that thou visited him. Don't miss this. It's a repetition of the first verse of God being mindful of mankind, but it is repeated in a stronger way. Son of man, that shows our humanity. Not only that, but it's stated by saying, or it started by saying, God is mindful of us, and now he says he has visited us. Oh, let me read that again. Not only that, but he stated, or he started by saying, God is mindful of us, and now he says he has visited us. He has visited us. He, God, has visited us. We've been asking what he looked like. He said, I've come from heaven already here, and I've already visited you. Show us the Father that we might suffice him. Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're so busy trying to figure out what he looked like. He said, I've already been here, and you didn't even recognize me. God present has already been on this earth, but he has taken the time to visit with us. All of the stuff that we see is his presence, but he now takes the time for you and I to know who he is. First Adam. Oh. The father of many nations. Then Isaac. Then Joseph. Jacob. Then the children of Israel, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Then Moses, the great deliverer. Then the judges, then the prophets, then David, King David. God visited and spoke to all of them, even you and I. Then Jesus came. Well, then Jesus came, the Messiah, and he came and he became the one of us. He walked with mankind. He lived with mankind, and then he died for mankind. He was here. God manifested in flesh. David goes on in verse 5 to explain that God has made man a little lower than the angels. Right now, God's angels are powerful. They are in heaven and on earth, invisible to us. Yet there they are. They're faithful and faithfully doing God's work. They don't have a lifespan. They can't be killed. They can't be manipulated or controlled by mankind. They are messengers. They are warriors. On top of that, they can get to see God face to face. So they are a lot stronger than us in our current state. Yet David said, y'all missing this. I ain't saw nobody write this. Yet David said, you crown man with glory and honor. Angels are God's servant and messengers, but their relationship to God is different from ours.
All right, yeah.
Angels will never know what it's like to be born a sinner. Yet to be loved by God so much that Jesus would die on a cross for them. They will never know what it's like to be transformed by the Spirit of God through salvation. For that's something reserved for you and I. God's creation, made lower than angels, yet crowned with glory and honor. In 1 Peter 1, verses 10 and 12, we're told concerning this salvation, the prophet who spoke of this grace that was to come to you searched intensely and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing them when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Then in 1 Corinthians 6 and 3, we are told, do you not know that we shall judge angels? There it is. Do you not know that we will judge angels? So angels marvel at this. Fallen angels, not the cherubims and the seraphims, but fallen angels. You know, the one called Lucifer? Do you not know that we will judge those angels? It's in his word. You and I, how? Because when we are transformed, when we become like him, we will have the power and authority to judge angels, those that are fallen, those that are wayward, those that are misfit. So angels marvel at this because we don't deserve it, yet God chose to do it anyway for you and I. So God uses his creation to point us to him. And our purpose as men and women created in his image is to exalt his wonderful name, submit to him, and serve him while our mortal flesh is on this earth. I'm teaching. Mm-hmm. Then all for then for all eternity we will continue to worship and serve him forever. Verses 6 through 9, God creation is managed God's way. In Genesis 1 through 6, he said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over all of the things that he created. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God placed mankind over his created order. Because it was God's way of giving man dominion and control. When man exercised this dominion over creation in a good way, we then are being obedient to God.
Yes, we are.
And that is all God desires, is obedience. Finally, in verse 9, we see the Lord's majesty. David closes with the same expression of praise for God's majestic name, with which he begins in verse 1. God's majestic, or God's majesty, has been displayed in his care and design for you and me. Why? Because David says, O Lord, our Lord. O Lord, our Lord. Antioch, when you're in trouble, you ought to be saying, O Lord. I'm reminded of the time when I was just about to have an accident, and I said, oh, Lord. There's something about saying, oh, Lord, when you acknowledge him as Yahweh Adonai. There's something about calling upon the name of the Lord. It's a right now call, Daryl. And there are times in our life that we need to right now call the Lord. Yeah. And if you are sick and that something in your life is not well, you ought to be able to say, oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When we think about what the Lord has done and how great he has been, there should be an oh Lord in your life. Oh Lord, I got up this morning and I'm grateful and thankful to you. Oh Lord, I thank you that all is well in my life. My children are well. My wife is well. All around me is well. Oh Lord, I thank you for last night lying down and this morning early rising. Oh Lord, I thank you for putting food on my table and clothes on my back. Oh Lord, I thank you for governing me, protecting me, restoring me, regenerating me. Oh Lord, I thank you for redeeming me. Oh Lord, I thank you most of all for saving me. And that should be an oh Lord in your life. For the Lord has been better to us than you've been to yourself. So that's why we can say,